Hello there, this is Crystal, and you're listening to the Crystal Archive podcast.
Crystal Archive Podcast, episode number 33, recorded on September 27th, 2014. Well, I did a little better than last time. Last time, for episode 32, the time between the previous podcast and that one was more than a whole year. And now we're only looking at 2 months. July, let's see, August, September. Yes, so just 2 months. So doing good on that front. I also made a conscious effort starting with that podcast to make more posts and deal with my emails more quickly, which I've finally been able to do now that my life is starting to settle down a little bit. I've moved out of California and back to Texas, well, the South. I'm living in Texas for the first time. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the feeling I get finally that I'm able to get back into getting the site up to date and keeping it up to date, thanks to your emails. Even though now that more than ever, there's way more things to post about every single day almost. So, with that said, I hope you've enjoyed the vast increase in the number of posts and informations we've been putting on the site. I've got more to post, and I'll be talking about that later. But for now, let's do what we always do. That is, start with the news since last podcast that I refer to as old news, which started us immediately with a joke page I decided to make. With all the hype and talk about who's going to be on the roster, both for this Smash game that's just about to come out on Super Smash Brothers, on the 3DS, and then later on the Wii U, and for Brawl back in the day, there was a lot of talk and hope and discussion and polls and online petitions to get Crystal in the game. And I had a plan to try and send signatures, and it was a big deal. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm starting to think it's not really worth it. So I decided, you know what, this is kind of funny. This is kind of funny that we keep getting our hopes up and we keep trying to find out and influence the results. And I decided to make a funny page about that, which is named is.crystal.in.smash.yet.crystalarchive.com or is.crystal.in.smash.yet.crystalarchive.com. And if you go to that page, it will give you live, up-to-date coverage of when or if Crystal is in the Smash, any Smash Brothers games. And I'm going to go to the page right now, click the link, and it says no. Just no. Okay. So that was a joke. I know it's disappointing, but I've kind of gone full disappointment, and I loop back around to this is kind of funny now, but this is a play on an older joke about back when the Large Hadron Collider was being started up, and people were afraid that it was going to cause a black hole to be formed on the Earth, and so someone set up a page that said it was called "Is the Earth Destroyed Yet from the Large Hadron Collider?" And you go to the page, and all it says is no. Because if it was ever true, it wouldn't be there. You'd know about it. So anyway, that's just as an aside. I decided to play with that. The next bit of news was Undying Nephilim, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He had been working on a fan game, based on Star Fox Shadows of Lylat, which is itself based on Free Space 2, which is a large area freeform space battle game. Star Fox Shadows of Lylat was shut down a few years ago. I guess they just didn't have enough funding or time to keep the project running, so they shut it down and released all their assets. Well, at least one person, Undying Nephilim, has picked those assets up and decided to make them his own. Now, I don't know if you remember him from previous endeavors, but in addition to doing art in the past, Undying Nephilim also attempted to make a Crystal-specific fan game from scratch a long time ago. We covered it on the site years ago. I think it was called Cursed. It was about Crystal after she took the name Cursed. And there was a trailer and everything, but it didn't ever really go anywhere. Well, he's back, and since then, he's gotten much more competent with game technology and programming, and he has done things with Free Space that I didn't even see Star Fox Shadows of Lylat do in his demos. And he's released lots and lots of videos of his works in this game. And he's also released a playable demo, which I recommend you try out. It's a little rough around the edges, very alpha, but you can play as Fox or Crystal or whoever, fighting in various scenarios, mostly large armadas of Venom and Cornarian fleets, and you're kind of in the middle of it trying to help defeat the Venom ships. I died a lot. It's a hard game, unless I just don't know what I'm doing. It doesn't play quite like the old Star Fox games. He probably should make a tutorial for those of us who've never played Free Space so we can get an idea of how to do it. But anyway, he has been working on that game and several other games, and he's released a couple of games, so I have a lot of confidence that, unlike a lot of the fan games we've seen and heard about in the past that are going to feature Star Fox or Crystal, this one I think he actually can deliver on. So I'm looking forward to that. Next bit of major news is something I'd known about for a little while, but I finally gotten some time to post about it, and that is that Ayano and her friend Ken Singsho let me know about the costume update that they're working on. Ayano is working on making an assault outfit complete with a moving minigun, and it looks exactly like the minigun that Crystal has in the promo images for Star Fox Assault. And it's really great, and it spins and it makes noise, and I mean, it's exactly like it. Now, a little bit of history. This gun is actually a modified Nerf gun, and it is, we didn't know this was what was going to happen, but essentially, back in 2013, we were taking video of Ayano, which I still need to release that video, but anyway, Foxtype and I were working on videotaping her, because I'd never met her before. I'd never seen the costume before, so it was a great time, and it's one thing to see the Crystal costume in a video. It's completely surreal when you see it in real life. It's just like, there's Crystal. She's right there, you know. It's hard to describe. But anyway, we were so thankful that she took the time to come along with us and let us take pictures and video and do several things with her, which was difficult because she doesn't speak English, only Japanese. We managed to do that. We wanted to help her out, you know, and so we were going to say, we'll buy you something as a gift, you know, pick something at the show or something that you want, and we'll buy it for you up to a certain amount. And when they got back to us, she said, actually, I want to make the minigun from Star Fox Assault for the costume. So there's this old Nerf gun that's kind of got the same shape, and people can use it to modify it to make it look like a real minigun. So that's what we want. So FoxType and I, we got it, and that was actually not the hard part. The hard part was shipping it to Japan, because it's such a large item, and with all the tariffs and the things that are extra involved when you ship something to another country that don't happen when you just ship something across the country. And I want to thank also FoxType at this point, because he kind of led the charge. He did all of this. He figured out how to buy the gun and how to transport it to Japan. I only helped purchase it and communicate with Ayano about it. So kudos to them. Ayano has done fantastic work with this, and I can't wait to see it in person, which she announced will be in, well, she allowed me to announce Furry Fiesta in Dallas, Texas, in February 2015. Unfortunately, the con she usually goes to, which was in San Jose, the San Jose Furry Con that she usually go to, and I went to see the costume that first time in 2013, and I'm blanking on the name for some reason, but she can't make it this year, which would have been in January of 2015. So instead, she's making her way to Furry Fiesta in Dallas, February 2015, not January. Because I live in Texas now, I can just drive up there. So that works out great for me. It's going to be more difficult for others who were hoping to see her in California. So that is unfortunate, but maybe the next year. So to go along this with this, she's also been working hard on the assault suit. She has ordered the fabric. She has the fabric, and now it's just a matter of sewing it correctly and building the suit. The gun is essentially done, and that's really impressive. And she sent along a video of her just in the adventurer's costume, holding the gun with it rotating and like moving it around, and so that's what I posted, and it looks great. The next bit of news is, and this spans several news stories, but one of the big things, one of the big groups of emails that I've been going through, have been people reporting to me new mods featuring Crystal, especially some of the newer Crystal models that we've posted on the site more recently by Nanogur and Gadonstrom and Gray Firefox. Unless I say these names like every day, it takes me a second to go back and remember what were their names. Anyway. So we've got new mods posted about for Left 4 Dead 2, Gary's Mod, and this is not the old Gary's Mod. There's been a Crystal in Gary's Mod forever. This is a much newer one with a much more accurate model. We've also got a brand new Unreal Tournament model, or two, actually, both Adventures and Assault, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yes, both of them. So that's really cool, and they look great. They look exactly like Crystal looks in Assault and Adventures, because essentially they're more or less the same model. And finally, Mod Nation, which is a racing game where you can customize your character and the race car that they drive. And we've had people post Crystal mods before. These are some new ones, and there's both an Assault and an Adventure version. So posted about those. We also posted some recently found videos of Ayano back in 2013 playing with a squeaky toy on someone attached to a fishing pole. They were fishing for furries, I think was the tagline for the two videos. And Crystal participated in that at least twice. I think I saw that guy walking around on Sunday that year. I didn't participate on that. Someone else the day before had a fishing pole, but it wasn't a squeaky toy. They had like candy bars attached to the end of the fishing line. So I got one of those. That was delicious and easy. I was too quick for him because he tries to like jerk it out of the way as soon as you like grab for it. And I was like way too fast. No problem grabbing it. Anyway, so enough about that. Next, we posted a live action Star Fox dogfight video over Earth. So some guy who likes to do 3D modeling and make videos that mix 3D and real world footage together decided to take on Star Fox. And basically, I think the basic storyline of the video is that Star Fox and Star Wolf were doing a fight in deep space, and Star Wolf attempts to escape or something through a wormhole, which brings them right next to Earth's atmosphere, and Star Fox team follows them, and the assault continues into the Earth's atmosphere, where a guy and his girlfriend are hanging out and kind of trying to escape the dogfights with laser beams flying at the ground near them. It's pretty epic. You should check it out if you haven't. It's called Star Fox Invasion. And let's see what's the next piece of news, because there was so much news. So this is really, really huge. Probably the largest single leak in the history of Nintendo games occurred around this time, back in, August? August 25th, or 26th, or 24th or 25th, I can't remember when I posted it. When they posted it, but I posted it on the 25th. And somebody who was an employee at Nintendo got a hold of their copy of the game that they were going to be transporting to the ESRB to have it rated for content and stuff that parents should be concerned about whether they should let their kids play a particular video game. Well, he decided, for some reason, to post hundreds and hundreds of screenshots and videos of it, essentially revealing all of the characters, the entire roster, many of which had not been seen before. The new characters that were revealed by this leak that had not been confirmed were Bowser Jr., Wario, Mr. Game & Watch, Ganondorf, Falco, Jigglypuff, the ducks and dog from Duck Hunt, Rob the robot, not Rob from Star Fox the robot, but Rob the robotic operating buddy for the NES. He was in Smash Brothers Brawl as well. Ness, Dr. Mario, Shulk, who's from Xenoblade Chronicles, and Dark Pit, the evil version of Kid Icarus. There was also some rumors about DLC featuring Lucas, Wolf, the Chorus Men from Rhythm Heaven, Ice Climbers, and Snake. But this has later become confirmed as false. First off, because they said the DLC rumor was false, but also because Ice Climbers has been confirmed by Nintendo to not be in the games because they couldn't get it working on 3DS. It was too many characters to maintain at once. They could do it on the Wii U, but not on the 3DS. So Ice Climbers are definitely not in the game. That doesn't mean that there will be no DLC. There's lots of evidence and thought that it is completely plausible to have DLC, and that's where we have a lot of our hope to get Crystal and other characters that we wanted to see in the game, that eventually they'll have DLC with downloadable characters and stages, just like what they're doing currently with the new Mario Kart game. I should also mention that there was some people found in the source code some pictures on the roster screen that are arrows, which indicates that there's more than one screen possibly in the future for a bigger roster, and the roster itself has room for at least another 5 characters. So we're looking forward to the game. It's already out in Japan, and there is a playable demo available today. It didn't come out today, but it's already available, where you can download it and you can play, I think, with 5 characters on Final Destination level or Battlefield level. And you can play it. You can download it on 3DS and play it today. And then on October 3rd, when it comes out in the US, you can buy or download it that way too and play through the game. And I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. There's a little bit of a snafu with mine because I actually purchased it online and it's going to be delivered so that I could purchase something else, which I'll mention in a second. But as a result, it looks like the timing issue is going to mean that my copy is not going to arrive until several days later when I will be out of town, so I'm actually going to get it way later than most of you guys are. Not looking forward to that delay. One other piece of news that came from this leak was whoever this guy was, this former Nintendo employee, because he's been horribly, horribly fired, and also, I think, sued by Nintendo. That is the current rumor. He particularly liked taking photos of some of the more, shall we say, busty characters in the trophies screens. And one of them he took a photo of, thankfully, was Crystal. So she does make a new trophy appearance this time, and her pose is different. It's a different pose and different text for her. So let me quickly read through. This is the text associated with Crystal's trophy. And I should mention that all the trophy text was written by, I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who did the English he wrote all the text for the Earthbound series. So that's just a side that I heard about. But anyway, it says Crystal, number 421 of 686. I guess that's how many trophies they have, whoever's playing this. As benefiting her name, Crystal was once imprisoned in a giant crystal. After rescuing her, Fox welcomed her into the team, where her telepathic abilities proved invaluable. She and Fox also became romantically involved, but no idea if her telepathic abilities were ever useful there. This sentence is weirdly written. She and Fox also became romantically involved, but no idea if her telepathic abilities were useful there as well. So, anyway, we're going to at least get a new trophy and probably some secret taunts, which I'll be looking into as soon as I possibly can. I know there are secret taunts for Star Fox. That much has been revealed in other videos. The question is, does Crystal appear in any of them? That I don't know. I should ask Alesia if she's done the voice acting. Now that the game's out, I could ask her. I should do that. I'm gonna email Alesia and see what she says about this. Anyway, moving on. I posted two amazingly epic videos of Fox versus Falco in a special version of Brawl. There's a project called Project M, which is designed to take the game Brawl, Super Smash Bros. Brawl, and try and bring the mechanics closer to Melee. So they remove tripping, they make all the characters move faster, you can cancel out of falls and moves and stuff, and you can do stuff that you just seemed watered down in Brawl. You can finally do again. And to top it off, the guy who's playing this game, he's playing it simultaneously as like one guy is playing simultaneously as Fox and Falco using tool-assisted run tools, which means he's essentially playing the game one frame at a time. So he's doing things that in theory a human could do, but in practical reality, a human would never be able to play at this level of perfection. And as a result, you can see Fox and Falco shooting and dodging things that you shouldn't be able to shoot and dodge. And like, they're playing on Final Destination, and they like do a significant percentage of their fight below the stage. They keep hitting each other in tandem such that they don't fall. And they're able actually to go all the way under the stage and come back up the other side, which I think humans can do, but it's really, really difficult. And anyway, if you blink that you'll miss something in this video. It's like watching if somebody decided to make Dragon Ball Z fights, but with Smash Brothers characters. It's really amazing. You should check those videos out if you haven't. It's really cool. So the next bit of news, and this is related to something I said in the past, Amiibo, which, if you haven't heard, are a series of essentially trophies. They're figurines on a stand that you can buy like a toy, like Skylanders, essentially, that communicate through the Wii U pad, the Wii U gamepad, and also a new version of the 3DS that's coming out that will also have this technology. And you can set this character on the Wii U gamepad, and it will keep track of who you play as, when you play as that character, and it saves information about how you fight in Brawl. There's other uses for these things, but in Brawl, it stores information about you as a player so that you can kind of trade your ability to fight with other people. And that just means something like, if you're not there, they can use your save data to fight essentially you, because it's an AI that fights the way you do, and it learns how you fight and fights similarly to you. And you can also use it to quickly transfer character properties from one friend's game to another, just so you can kind of essentially bring your version of Smash to your friend's house without having copy memory cards. You can just set your character down, the character you play as most. These are really high quality models, especially, and I featured the Fox one, but also the Samus one looks really good. I mean, it's like exactly like it. So what I was going to do is purchase Fox and Samus, and they were available at the time on Amazon.com for pre-order. Now, that's why my Smash game is going to be late. I needed to buy these amiibos, and I was like, oh, well, I need the free shipping, right? Because everybody does the free shipping. So I get the free shipping, I had to buy some more things. So I'm going to buy Smash Brothers anyway, so I just added Smash Brothers onto the list of games. And that's why I'm not buying it in the store. It's because I had to buy something else to get my amiibos shipped for free. Anyway, so that's why I'm getting Smash Brothers late. You should definitely check out the amiibos. They look really, really good. And if only they would do one per trophy. Can you imagine a crystal amiibo? That would just be amazing. And if she becomes a playable character, there's little doubt she'll become an amiibo. Definitely. Next bit of news, Mr. Mancoin is a multi-talented crystal artist who successfully completed a Star Fox Assault crystal cosplay with movable jaw and a award-winning crystal plush featuring the adventure style. Won second place at the convention that he applied to. Yes, it is a dude dressed up as crystal. Get over it. The point is, of course, here whether or not the character looks like the character, not who's under the skin, under the costume. And I think he did a pretty good job. A little lacking on the details, but it's very rare to see an assault cosplay in the first place. So, hey, I mean, every time that they work on these, somebody tries something new, and they're always getting a little bit better slowly over time. That's what I pay attention to, not who the person is, other than to give them credit. Next, I posted about Star Fox Lylat Legacy. Now, this is a comic series that's released. I think he releases two pages every week on Monday evenings. And it is really high quality. This guy, he can do art like nobody's business, and he's been doing tons and tons of concept work on his blog that show crystal and various things. And I think the plan is it starts with Fox and Falco and Slippy and them at the academy, where before Fox decides to become a mercenary after his father, and it will proceed through the entire Star Fox series except for Command. So we're going to see adventures, and we're going to see Assault replayed, but more epically in this comic series. You should check that out. I'm subscribed to it on my RSS feed, so I always see it as soon as he posts a new page. Next, we have there was a surprise announcement in Bayonetta 2. Now, Bayonetta 2 is a big deal because it's Nintendo is personally funding the creation and publishing of a sequel to a very not obscure game, kind of a sleeper hit, critically acclaimed and highly respected. Didn't sell as many as, you know, like, I don't know, it didn't sell as well as things like Call of Duty, let's say, but it did respectable, but apparently not well enough to warrant a sequel. But Nintendo decided they wanted to have a sequel, and so they said, hey, we're gonna put up the funding, you make us a sequel, put it on our thing, and we're like, they were like, sure, let's do that. Now, a lot of people got up in arms about Bayonetta 2 because they're like, well, it wasn't on, the first one wasn't on a Nintendo system. Why are you bringing it to a Nintendo system? And their response was fairly reasonable, in my opinion. Look, if Nintendo didn't pay us the money to make this game would have never happened at all. So, of course, we're going to release it on a Nintendo system exclusively. That's what they paid for. Now, one of their arguments has gone away. You can now play the sequel on the Wii, because when you buy Bayonetta 2, I don't think it's a separate purchase. I think you get the original Bayonetta 1 for free. I don't quote me on that, but I think that's what you get. If not, it's a very cheap downloadable price on top of that. One of the things they're doing as a Nintendo game is they're allowing you to play as different characters from, well, not as different characters. They made alternate costumes for Bayonetta. Several of them, several alternate costumes, but of particular interest is the set of costumes that are styled after Nintendo characters. So Bayonetta can dress up as Daisy, Princess Daisy, Princess Peach, Link, and Samus in her power suit. Now, that was all they revealed back at the at E3. But since then, they had a Nintendo Direct where they talked about a new alternate costume that's based on Fox McCloud, and it features many subtle things. It's really a great costume, and many people who've gotten to play this game think it's their favorite alternate costume. But that costume allows you to do the following. So first off, she's wearing a flight suit-like getup with the green shirt and the poofy scarf in the front, like an aviator scarf. And I believe she's wearing that weird helmet thing that kind of wraps around the front and the top. And there's fox ears coming out the top of her head. And she's got the fox tail, and her guns, instead of being traditional guns, are miniature R-wings that she holds. You know, there's four R-wings, one for each of the original characters, Fox, Falco, Slippy, and Peppy. And when you can lock onto enemies, and it makes the same sound effects when you shoot the laser beams as Star Fox 64, and the R-wings fly in, and when she grabs her guns, they fly in like R-wings. And there's little bitty characters, like keychain characters attached to each gun. So each R-wing gun has the character like hanging down from it, like from a keychain. So you can see a little miniature Fox, Falco, Peppy, and Slippy there. And then to top it all off, certain cutscenes that otherwise would feature an airplane or a fighter jet, they replaced those with R-wings. And actually, there's one other thing. One of the supporting characters is dressed up in a similar fox outfit. And I didn't really get to see it very well, but it looks almost like it's a wolf outfit. But it's hard to tell. It's mostly the same. Now, the only thing that can make this better is if they made a crystal-themed costume. Because I can tell you, for the way that this game, Bayonetta 2, has historically been about, shall we say, eye candy, where they play to the fans. Fan service. Yes, fan service. It's historically been very fan servicey because the character Bayonetta is a witch who primarily uses her hair as a means of spell casting and manipulating the world around her as weapons. But her hair is her hair, and she has to have a lot of it, and she actually uses her hair as clothing. So when she's using her hair that she otherwise would be using for clothing as an attack, well, obviously that hair has to go away. So it results in various poses that they then play in such a way that from that camera angle, you can't actually see anything, but you can tell that you would be able to see something. So it's very fan servicey. So anyway, as I was saying, like, if there's any character that they of the Nintendo entire roster of possible characters they could have used, Crystal would have been probably the biggest shoe-in, because none of the other characters are particularly fan servicey in quite the same way that Crystal is and can be. Anyway, so that was exciting, and more details followed about that. So that was a fun little surprise. We're getting towards the end of our old news, so with that, let's go on to the final page of it, which is Undying Nephilim got in contact with me and saying, hey, you're run a crystal site, right? Would you like some exclusive crystal information about this event horizon? And I jumped on that. I said, yeah, man, send it to me and I'll post it. So what he sent was a series of poses and concept art for an alternate costume for Crystal in Star Fox Event Horizon, which she's wearing the same sort of tribal type clothing, except instead of it being primarily gold and white, it's primarily gold and blue, so it kind of blends in with her fur. The loincloth is much bigger, the staff is much bigger, and her face is painted up with war paint. Now, I should point out that like Star Fox Lylat Legacy, the comic, this game by Undying Nephilim, Star Fox Event Horizon, is intending to go through the entire Star Fox series in a reimagined way. So it's going to go through an adventures scene. Adventures is going to happen within the context of this game, except she's not going to get trapped in the crystal, or at least not for very long. She's going to get out. She's going to join the Star Fox team. She's going to help out. She's going to personally fight General Scales. All the things we've been wanting. And also, something I forgot to mention, one of the key mysteries in Star Fox Event Horizon is another character, another blue fox, shows up that's, in theory, from Serenia, Crystal's long-lost planet, home planet. And this character looks like Crystal, except she's got, like, some scars on her eye and stuff, and it's weird. But also, she pilots a mech. Rather than a starship or an R-Wing, she pilots a mech that looks like a Krazoa Spirit, but with a sword and a shield extending out of the head. So that'll be interesting, to say the least. I haven't actually tried the mech. I don't know if the mech is playable in the demo. I didn't see it playable, but it might be. That's all the more reason for Undying Nephilim to make a tutorial and expose video on how to use the demo. He has, by the way, released demo videos of cutscenes involving Crystal and this new mysterious character. And he's also shown a video of gameplay where the battleground is set in and around the Krazoa Palace. So that's going to be interesting. Next up, T. Pendragon released a crystal trophy sculpture. Now, what he did was he looked at the model from Brawl of Crystal as a trophy, and he decided to make his own sculpture in a very trophy size. And it's painted up, and it doesn't look exactly like the model, but it's an interesting project, to say the least, with Crystal in her assault outfit. And if only we could have a trophy of Crystal that size, which is why I'm so looking forward to the amiibos and Crystal's possibility in there. Next bit of news was that Sakurai, now this was published like 3 months ago, but I only recently heard about it. Sakurai was giving an interview. He's the guy who makes Smash Brothers, by the way. He was giving an interview talking about how they make the games and how they choose characters, and very reasonably he said that, you know, they pick characters, like they said, by deciding, you know, how will this character improve the game? How can we make a unique fighter with this character? Can we make a unique fighter with this character? All these things I think are true about Crystal, but nevertheless, he said that for gameplay and testing reasons, they had to finish picking the characters over 2 years ago. So they were done picking what characters they were going to do in the initial game anyway. Who knows about DLC? But in the initial game, they finished deciding. 2 years ago, and they had to, because they had to have the time to balance them, to add the moves, to check things, make sure they work with all the other characters. And I hear it gets exponentially more complicated the more characters you have, because they act differently, and you have to make sure that they're balanced, otherwise one character would be used exclusively by the gamers out there. So basically, no hard feelings, you guys, but all these polls and online petitions, they're really not going to do anything. They might have done something way back in the past, but by the time they started up, they were way too late. That's why I didn't do anything. It's probably too late, so I didn't do anything. But even going further than that, it probably doesn't matter anyway, you guys, because he said from the very beginning he's going to pick the things that he thinks will make the best possible game, not cater to a specific group of people or a specific group of fans, much as we would like to see Crystal in there. If he wants to have, if he puts Crystal in the game, it's because, and only because, he thinks she'll be a good playable character, not because, you know, most people want her there. And I think that's entirely reasonable as a game designer. That is completely, totally reasonable. A little disappointing, but completely reasonable. And that's also the reason why I haven't, and from now on won't, be posting any polls or any online petitions, because they're of dubious quality at best, and I've never actually seen them work. Not even one time. I've never seen a single online petition of any significance that's ever actually had an effect. Other than, there have been times where people have made a petition and the people involved eventually did do that thing that they were petitioning for, but in a lot of the cases, and probably all of them, I just haven't seen all of them, it was something that they were going to do anyway or wanted to do anyway. So the petition really doesn't matter. Signed physical petitions, those may matter to a degree, but even then I'm kind of dubious in today's day and age with the way the internet and information is spread. So that's a thing. The Crystal Archive will not be posting polls or online petitions anymore, because they really don't do anything. They're just ways to get yourself worked up for a little payoff, unfortunately. We had a post about a deal on Star Fox coming out for Smash. In celebration of Smash coming out for the 3DS, Nintendo's decided to, on a series of consecutive weeks, they were going to release various old games from the various series at a reduced price. And they said in advance that Star Fox was going to be one of those series. We didn't know what games they were going to do. Were they going to do Star Fox for the Super NES, which has never appeared on the Virtual Console? Were they going to do Star Fox 64? Because while Star Fox 64 came out on the Wii Virtual Console, it never came out on the Wii U Virtual Console, because Wii U Virtual Console, for some reason, doesn't support N64 games yet. No one's sure why. But it turns out none of those things were true. And in fact, what was posted was a $10 off deal on Star Fox 64 3D for the 3DS. Which, you know, if you haven't gotten it already, okay, but that's kind of disappointing. I mean, it's really disappointing, actually. But it's a deal. A deal's a deal. A deal's a deal. Also note that time, that post and a couple other before it were posted by Dogman15, who I met personally at Everfree 2013. And he had been sending me a bunch of emails about past things and about mods, and I said, hey, you know, you spend a lot of time on the site. Would you like to make these posts? And he said, sure. So he's posted some, and he may post some more in the future, but for now, it's back to me. I'll be posting for a while. Now, this last one, or the second to last one, takes a little bit of explaining. So we've had a lot of posts about Smash Brothers and the fact that Crystal may not appear on the roster, and then she may, and then what the people's opinions are about that, and Sakurai having to pick characters in advance. And I saw some of these comments, I'm really sorry, guys. but I was reading your comments, and it's just too funny. I mean, I'm disappointed, you're disappointed, and like it's kind of like looped around. Like I've gotten over the disappointment, and now it's just kind of funny to watch how overreacting in some cases this is getting. And so I saw all these posts, these comments by you guys, and I was like, I've seen these things before. They're doing the five stages of dealing with denial, you know, the five stages of adapting to personal tragedy. And so I just took a list of comments and I found ones that corresponded to each stage of coping with personal tragedy. And so here they are. Okay, so there's denial. The first stage is denial, where you just can't believe that this thing happened to you. And the quote was from Glitcher, and he said, "He's lying. Crystal has to be in the game. They wouldn't leave her out again, not this time. Don't give up, people. Fight for Crystal. Fight." And then he breaks down in tears. Okay, now I know Glitcher, and I know he's being facetious, okay? So I don't feel bad about that one. He's messing with us. All right, so then after that, when you get over the denial, next comes anger. "Well, this sucks bollocks. She D better be in DLC. This proves Nintendo hates both her and Wolf," by the randomizer. Now, randomizer really is upset, and I want to personally apologize to you, the randomizer. I know you're personally disappointed because you have created crystal mods in the past for Brawl, and you've really taken this personally, and you know, I don't blame you, but I think you should try and work through your anger, get past your depression, and on to trying to look at the good things in life. But anyway, so that was randomizer's comment. And then the next stage is bargaining. Randomizer again, he says, "I speak Japanese, so maybe I can ask Sakurai directly if Crystal will ever be in the game via DLC, because frankly, this is BS in my opinion. Failing that, the game will be hacked," and by hack he means making mods for it. Next is by Edries, who is exhibiting depression, or at least my interpretation of depression, which he just says, "No Crystal? ... And then finally, we have acceptance, where Rareware number one fan writes, "You know, it's okay that Crystal is not in the game." And other people said, "You know, it's okay because, you know, we're going to have that new Star Fox game at the end of 2015. So, and no doubt Crystal will be in there. So it's okay that we don't get Crystal, you know." Anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny to see just such a wide range of reactions and how much personal disappointment people had. I mean, I'm disappointed. I certainly want to see Crystal in Smash, but you know what? It is just a game. And we should have faith in Sakurai. At least two times out of three, he's created genre-breaking, amazing games. The original Smash Brothers and Melee. You could argue back and forth about Brawl being too watered down, but even then, it was an impressive game, and I had a lot of fun playing it. I have a lot of faith in Sakurai and him doing the right thing as far as making a good, fun game to play, regardless of what characters he picks to put in them. And whatever characters he chooses to take away. That's part of game design. Sometimes you have to take away things. So, long story short, try not to take it personally. It's disappointing, but just try and move on and hope, and you know, hope for the future. Maybe she'll be DLC. Who knows? Let's not try and get ourselves personally invested in something happening. At least not something happening that we have no control over. Better to find ways of getting ourselves worked up and hyped about things we can change and things we can do. Like, you know, making mods of Crystal for other games. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Alright, so enough of that. Last bit of news is that Undying Nephilim has run into a little bit of some financial issues in the past few weeks, and it's been running into its ability to do the games, particularly Star Fox Event Horizon and a few other ones that he's been working on. So he got in contact with me and said, hey, would you promote this? I'm going to try and do a Patreon, which is where you financially support someone a certain small amount every month, and they create stuff. It's kind of like Kickstarter, but on a continuous basis rather than a one-time, let's try and get this exact amount of funding kind of thing. And he hopes to be able to make enough money that he can turn this game production into a part-time or even full-time job. And he's getting some donations. I'm one of them. I'm donating a fair amount. If you look on the page, I've hidden the fact that I've donated and who I am and how much, but I have donated, and it's a fair amount. So every month. So I encourage you to do it also, because I just want to see this game come out and soon, because it's going to be the first playable game with playable crystal in a long time, and it's a fan game, and he's doing fantastic work, and I have every confidence that he is able to produce the game he says he can. Also, he released with this a new trailer featuring new footage from all the games he's working on, but in particular, part of the cutscene is of a Crystal with her new war paint look and her staff facing off directly against General Scales. So if you haven't seen the trailer, even if you're not going to donate to Patreon, you should check out that trailer. It's got some pretty cool parts. And with that, I'm going to get some water. Excuse me. And that covers all the old news since last time. Now, that is a fantastic amount of old news for a podcast. I had similar amounts of news for a whole year's worth last time. But this time, I had that much news in 2 months, which tells you how many posts I've been making. It's a lot. And I have a lot more to do. So with that, I'm going to talk about new news. Now, because I've been trying to, as much as possible, post things as soon as I get them, there's not a lot of news as far as things that I'm about to post, as far as things that have been sent to me. The new news is going to be about larger topics, about bigger projects coming in the future. But before I get started with those future posts, I want to talk briefly about donations. Now, this is not a call for you to donate to me. Rather, I put up the donations because I thought it would be a cool way to help fund some of the things. And there are some things I'd like to do that funding would definitely help with. I don't need funding to keep the site running. That much is pretty much paid for. And even if it wasn't, I would personally keep the site up. I have enough money on my own to keep the site up and running. That's not a problem. What is a problem, and what does cost a little bit of money that I don't really have a budget for, are some larger projects that I'd like to do. And I want to personally thank Comp367, who single-handedly donated a significant amount of money. I think it was $300 over the course of several donations. And I wanted to let you guys know, I want to be transparent about this. I don't want you to just think that I'm taking these donations and I'm putting them in my pocket. I am putting in them in my pocket, but I'm not just turning around and using them to spend on things I want. I don't want you to think that I'm really using these as a way of payment for the site. Rather, I want you to think of these things as ways that I can use the funds to improve the site and the content on it. So, I have my first donation report, which I will tell you what I've used your money on. So first off, I used the money recently. I've used some of the money donated for two programs that is going to significantly help with the Crystal Archive. The first is I purchased the new Final Cut Pro. Now, before that, all I had was the old version of Final Cut Express, which works, and I still have it, but it's not really designed for the newer operating systems, and it can't really do full HD video at all. So with the new Final Cut Pro, I'm going to be able to do full HD video with all the features, and I'm planning to use this new program to help me finish editing and pulling together all the videos of Yano that I have, and putting them together in a new video, which I've been planning to do for a while, but now I actually have a tool that can help me put that together quickly. I also purchased the FTP program, Transmit, which I was using CyberDuck as my FTP program, and it works okay, but it is starting to be really slow and not work very well and like just not be very reliable. Transmit is a very high quality FTP program and is also correspondingly kind of expensive, but it's going to allow me to make sure I can accurately and quickly make backups of the site. And so there's no, basically now, whereas before it took several hours to fully back up the site and I wasn't really sure if I got everything, I can back up the Crystal Archive now in a matter of less than 10 minutes. It takes less than 10 minutes to completely back up everything on the site. So that's really helping. Now, in total, that cost actually more than $300, I believe. So that is what I use the donation money for recently. Now, going forward, there's a couple of other things I need to purchase to help with. First of all, Smash Brothers is coming out soon. And I'll need to record the Star Fox and Crystal related things like the trophies and the taunts. And to do that, I need a capture card. Now, I used to have an old capture card and it was fine for the Wii because the Wii could only output 480p video. And I had a capture card that could handle that. Well, now we're in the world of HD. I don't have that capture card anymore because it's really not going to hold up to snuff anyway. So what I need is a new capture card. And I already know which one. There's two ones that are good, but there's one that will let me record quickly and easily HD video that's compressed, and there's another one that actually lets me record HD video uncompressed, and that's significant because it's one of the few uncompressed capture devices that you can buy for less than like $5,000. It's the $5,000 category is the stuff that like TV studios use, okay? Below that, the consumer level, they finally have high quality uncompressed video capture devices, and with that I can record really absolutely 100% pixel perfect full quality HD video from the Wii U. So I need to purchase that. That's about $170, I think. $170, $120. So there's that. So I'll probably be using donation money to purchase that. But anyway, that's the kind of thing that I'm using the donations for, not site hosting and not just to put in my pocket. I guess you could say I use some of the money to help me fund my trips to the conventions as well, I should say. And I use those conventions, the Crystal ones, the furry ones anyway, to try and get information about Crystal cosplayers wherever I can. That's why I'm going to the one in Dallas. It's although I do enjoy a furry con as much as the next furry guy, I mostly am there as an ambassador to Crystal and Ayano cosplaying, and any other Crystal and Star Fox cosplayers there. If you're gonna be there, let me know so I can have my camera ready. I also have a camera now, so I can record my own videos as opposed to relying on others. So the other thing is I've been working really hard since the last podcast. I've been working really hard to get my inbox of emails down to zero. And that means posting a ton of stuff. And I have been able to post a ton of stuff. As some of you have may have noticed, I've finally been able to respond to some of the emails that you sent back in 2012 and 2011. That's how far back my backlog goes, back into the 2011 days. So I'm working really hard. I've gotten down to the core stuff, the stuff that I actually have to really spend some time to reply to. But I've already responded to the stuff that's easy to respond to, more or less. So I used to have like 200 emails in my inbox. Now it's down to 88 as of this recording, less than half. And I've got a lot more to do, but soon I'll be able to get down to zero and I'll have posted everything. And that'll be a great time to be, because being hopelessly behind on this thing is really a stressor on my brain. I don't want to Think about it. That's why it takes me so long to do things. It's like, I should do the Crystal Archive. Oh, but if I do, I'm going to have so much work to do. And so I just end up not doing it. Well, I'm trying to burst through that malaise and say, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do something. And that's part of what I'm doing today, is doing this podcast. Even though I don't really have time to do this podcast or edit it, I'm going to do it anyway. Okay? Because I need to. Now, also, with this getting the emails organized and responded to, another thing I'm working on in my small amount of free time is going through all of my previous hard drives and computers and trying to get all my files like organized into one thing that I can make backups of stably, know where everything is, and I'll finally have access to all the Crystal stuff, because it's not just emails. Sometimes I save stuff that I found that related to Crystal online, intending to post it, but never actually got around to it. So I've got tons and tons of stuff that I need to edit and post that I haven't yet. And here's some things I'm talking about, some of these larger projects I need to work on. So first off, I still have the Estelle Ellis interview, the first voice actress of Crystal. I still have that. I still need to edit it. Maybe I'll do it tonight. I don't know. But I recorded it as two streams, her talking and me talking, and I got to combine them together. That's why it's more complicated than just posting what I have, okay? Been meaning to do that for like over a year. Need to post that interview. I have tons and tons of footage from Ayano in 2013, recorded by me, recorded by Foxtype, and recorded by our good friend Silver Nakamura. And so he had videos, I have videos, Foxtype has videos. I have all the videos on my computer somewhere. I need to edit them all together. By the way, they do feature me, okay? I will be in these videos, hanging out with Ayano in part of it. So it's going to be like my video debut, I guess. But more talk about that later. The other thing we did, and I don't think I've mentioned this before, but I got Ayano and another, and the Fox McCloud cosplayer who were there that year in 2013, we were like, you know, Ayano's here and we should totally like do a scene from Adventures, since she's dressed in the Adventures costume. And so with some help from some Japanese translator friends, we managed to get Ayano's the idea that, hey, let's have you do this scene. And the scene was a very simple scene. It's the item get scene from Star Fox Adventures, where when you obtain a new item, Crystal bends down, reaches down, and then grabs it and then lifts it above her head, and in like the Zelda fashion, it's spinning above her head. And I was going to do that, and I was going to take that video of Ayano and Fox also and put a 3D object above her head and have the camera tracking so it actually appears like it's really above her head, not just like me inserting something on top of the video. And I've actually done this, okay? I know how to do it. I just messed it up before I finished it, so I have to do it over again, okay? But that's something I need to do, is that video editing. Now, also, from a couple years ago, I have tons and tons of Dinosaur Planet-related info, both about Crystal and just the game in general. I have information, I have videos, I have pictures, and I need to post these for historical reasons on a separate subdomain, just like I did for the Star Fox Adventures voice acting. I need to post that. And I have tons, I have so much of it. I don't even know what I have. I just have tons and tons of files. So I need to go through all that and post those. That's another big thing. I need to finally finish the fan art tool so I can finally post these fan art lists again. It's been, what, two and a half years since I posted fan art in any significant amount. Need to do that. And I need to finish restoring the site's old content, which I keep needing to do. I'm working on that too in a kind of a secondary way. Basically, I'm hiring some of my real life friends to help me out with that. But no word yet on that, because they don't really have the work ethic I do, and so they're being really slow about it. So working on that, we'll see. Now that I have new video editing capabilities, as I said, I need to make a video with all the Smash Brothers Wii U info, which is the taunts, the Star Fox characters, the Star Fox stages, the music, and Crystal Trophy and any Crystal related stuff there and any DLCs that eventually happen. So there you go. I need to do video editing for that. But I'd also like to do more videos in the future. One of the videos I'd like to do, I'd like to make a video that's an expose on all the plot holes in adventures, because there are a lot of them and they spark a ton of discussion all the time, and I want to kind of create kind of a one-time, here's a video that explains everything and talks about the pros and cons of different theories and why one theory is better than another and all that. And so we can kind of finally get a reference point on all this, because right now all that information is kind of on different forums, different places. I was also informed, and this was like almost a year ago, but this is kind of off topic, but Anita Sarkeesian is a prominent feminist, and she decided to start making a video series called Damsel in Distress, where she talks about tropes related to women in video games. Now, whether you agree with Anita Sarkeesian or not, and there's been a significant amount of controversy surrounding her more recently, now that there's this Gamergate thing going on, and I think the current conspiracy is the fact that until 3 years ago, she never even played video games. She didn't like video games, but she decided to become this quote-unquote gamer so that she could make these videos. Anyway, Anita Sarkeesian, in her first Damsel in Distress video, featured Crystal and the whole Crystal being trapped in a crystal and being a damsel of distress, whereas in the previous game that was going to happen, Dinosaur Planet, she was one of two main characters. Now, she didn't say that correctly. She said she was the character, or something like that. Basically, in what I've seen of the video, she gets every single aspect of Crystal wrong. And that just won't stand. It doesn't matter to me about her feminist beliefs and statements. She's messing with Crystal, and I can't allow that to stand. So I'm going to probably do a response to Anita Sarkeesian's video from the perspective of myself as an expert on Crystal specifically, not in relation to gaming and relation to feminism and all that, but to address specifically her misuse of Crystal to further her point. I won't let that stand. Doesn't matter about the feminist stuff. She's misrepresenting Crystal, specifically, and I don't want to stand for that. So there's that. Another thing I have, and I've had for years, that I've been meaning to do something with, and I haven't had time to do with, is I actually have one of the playable demos from Star Fox Adventures back in the GameCube days. I have a playable Star Fox Adventures demo, and it's different from Star Fox Adventures proper. And I've been meaning to make a video on the differences. And one of the things you can do in that demo is play as Crystal, so obviously that's important. But just generally the differences. So I need to make a video about that. And finally, YouTube now allows live streaming. And so how do you guys feel about a live on video podcast? I've been wanting to do it for a while. Some of my previous podcasts were done live, but I didn't record the video or post up. It was just a one-time thing. If you were there to watch it, you could watch it, but it wasn't recorded. Now, that kind of thing is apparently easy for YouTube. So I'd like to do a live on video podcast in the future. What do you guys think about that? Would you guys be willing to participate? I just want to know your opinions on that. So because I've been spending so much time dealing with posting news from emails as soon as I get them, there's actually no questions or comment emails this time, which is, I think, a first. I think I've always had questions for the podcast, but this is the first time I don't actually have any question or comment worthy emails, because all the emails I got or that I dealt with were related to actually making posts on the site, which I've already done. So no questions this time. So all the more reason you should be sending me your questions and comments, not just on this podcast, but the site in general. So please do. I always go through them before a podcast to try and look for questions I can use on the podcast. If you want your question read on the podcast, or you specifically don't, tell me so I can make note of that. You can send your questions and comments to mrcrystal@gmail.com. And of course, keep an eye out on thecrystalarchive.com for all the latest news on Crystal, Star Fox, and furry fandom stuff and what I'm up to. I look forward to hearing more from you soon. I'm really glad to finally be getting things back on track and hopefully accelerating. And so I hope you've enjoyed this really not very well-polished podcast, episode number 33. And here's to hoping I can get it done in time next month. See you then.